As we think about the new year and what it might bring, we can also look into God's Word and what it says about a new time and place. 2 Corinthians tells us about a new creation, and Brother David Johnson will speak to us about this on this Words of Life program. We are prayerfully brought to you with the sponsorship of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. We pray that God will bless you as you listen. We now praise our Lord with song.
Yeah.
Lord, you have truly blessed us throughout the year. Thank you for all that you have done. We are especially thankful for the salvation that is found in Jesus. Bless all who are listening with your peace, health, and meeting their personal needs as well. Also, we pray for each servant of yours throughout the world, especially the persecuted. And when you have finished with us here upon this earth, take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Using 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Brother David Johnson will now present A New Creation.
Thank you for listening to our Words of Life radio broadcast, as our goal is to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the principles and precepts of the Scripture, the promises and prophecies of the Scripture, for all to hear, and not only to hear, but to incorporate in our lives, especially as each one receives Jesus the Christ as Savior and Lord, persevering in Him to the end. And our lesson today is A New Creation. And our text in the New Testament is only one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Listen to the Word of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. A wonderful passage, a wonderful truth in the Word of God. For many people across this planet, this is the time of New Year's Day, which is considered the oldest of all holidays that mankind celebrates, perhaps especially in the Western Hemisphere. Historians believe a New Year's celebration was first observed in ancient Babylon about 4,000 years ago. The Babylonians considered the new year to begin in late March at the vernal equinox, marking the beginning of spring. The focus was looking ahead to new crops and new growth. Nations around the world celebrate the new year at different times and different ways because of different calendars and customs. For example, the Jewish New Year, or Rosh Hashanah, is a solemn time, usually celebrated on the first and second of the month of Tishri, according to our calendar, in late September or early October. It's when Orthodox and conservative Jews consider things they have done wrong in the past and promise to do better in the future. Special services are held in synagogues, and the shofar, the trumpet made of a ram's horn, is blown. In America, the United States, New Year's Day, along with many countries, is a public holiday on January the 1st. In the 1500s, January 1st became generally recognized as the beginning of a new year, with the adoption of the Gregorian calendar, named so because it was sponsored by Pope Gregory the 12th. Traditionally in America, this holiday is considered a time to take stock of one's life and to make resolutions for the new coming year. Regarding New Year's resolutions, reportedly, about 55% of Americans keep their resolutions for only about 1 month, 40% for about 6 months, and 19% for about 2 years. As believers, we would do well to all recommit ourselves to our God, the one and only God, the God of the Bible, and as Enoch in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24 describes, to walk with God in daily fellowship. As Christians, we should all resolve to live more like the new creation that we are according to the Bible. It clearly states again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 in part, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, through genuine obedient faith, we are born anew, born again, on the inside, in our spirits. God does not reform nor rehabilitate us. God recreates us as new creatures living in a new union with Christ. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit given to us as a gift, now guiding our minds, hearts, and wills. We grow with the mindset of Christ in us, a new perspective, not a worldview, but a kingdom view, God's kingdom view. Our sin nature remains, but we strive, and yes, even struggle at times, not to let sin have mastery, not to let sin reign over us. Jesus Christ is now our master. He must reign on the throne of our hearts and minds and wills. The old has gone, that is, old values, old priorities, old beliefs wane as new values, new priorities, and new beliefs increase and dominate our lives. The new has come in the original Greek grammar, indicating that this newness is a continuing condition, that we need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit within us, indwelling us, to mature in our new lives. We live for eternity, not merely temporal times. God gives us a new heart, so to speak, a new mind, new will, as we set about to live a new lifestyle in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. As we grow spiritually, God teaches us new truths and gives us new opportunities for service. We in Christ have a new future, an eternal future with God as we persevere in Him, in Christ, by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Consider some of the promises of God to us who are new creatures, new creations in Christ Jesus, revealed in the newest or most recently written book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the last book of the canon of the Scriptures. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1 says in part, a new heaven and a new earth. That's a fabulous promise for persevering believers. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2 says in part, a holy city, the new Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5 says in part, he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. On a cosmic universal scale, God will not just renovate, but eventually will completely recreate, eventually, a totally new order to finally replace the old order marred by sin, a new earth, new heavens into eternity. Regarding the New Jerusalem, consider Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This book is the divine ledger with the names of all who belong to the Lord by the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our sin slate, received through obedient, persevering faith in Christ Jesus. I remember reading about a man who had the habit of reading the obituaries first in the newspaper. One morning, he found his own name listed in the death columns. He called the newspaper office to complain. They checked it out and apologized, promising to put his name in the birth column in the next day's newspaper edition. When we are saved, God, who never makes mistakes, takes our names out of the death columns of the dead in sin and puts our names in the birth columns as born again, born anew, new creations in Christ Jesus, the Lamb's Book of Life. What a fabulous God that we have. As new creations in Christ, we can resolve, like Abraham, to trust God implicitly. We can resolve, like Job, to persevere under all circumstances. We in Christ can resolve, like Joseph, to run from seductive sin. We can resolve, like Moses, to choose to suffer rather than to cave to the pleasures of sin. We can resolve, like Esther, to be brave, even facing possible death. We can resolve, like Mary, to strive to be a humble servant of the Lord. We can resolve, like Andrew, to strive to lead others to Christ. We can strive, like Stephen, to have a forgiving spirit toward those who attack, who are our offenders. We can resolve in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit to be like Paul, to forget those things that are behind and to press forward. It's a new year. We live in Christ. We are new creations. The old year has gone. The new year has come. So let's ask ourselves, what new things does God want to do in our lives beginning today? And with God's help, we can do it. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, Paul wrote. Today, on New Year's Day in America, many visit relatives, watch football, or parades on television. Many eat black-eyed peas, which supposedly brings luck and prosperity in the new year, a Southern tradition. An older American colonist tradition involves using the Bible to predict what would happen in the new year. Whereas we cannot predict the future, we can resolve in the present to pursue a closer walk with God through the Bible as we understand the Bible better, as a manual for life, for our lives. Begin today, if you aren't already, to spend more time in the Scriptures, to spend time developing a closer relationship with God in daily Bible reading, in study and introspection. Other books are given for information, but the Bible was revealed, recorded, and preserved not just for information, but for our transformation. Those who know the Bible best find it ever new, according to D.L. Moody. Someone has said, quote, "The Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't falling apart," end quote. And if you carry a Bible when you are young, it will carry you when you are old. Do you realize that about half of the books of the Bible can be read in 10 to 45 minutes each? The new year has come. May we all deepen our personal relationships in the Lord. One of the surest ways is to meet with God daily in prayer as we speak to God, and in Bible reading and study as God speaks to us through our Bible devotions. Nobody can outgrow the Bible. It widens and deepens in our hearts and minds every passing year, every new year.
God has blessed us with a sermon from His Word. If you are not yet a Christian, there is no better way to end this year and begin the new one. To become a Christian, you need to first truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The book of Acts shows us that those true believers also repented of sin, confessed Jesus as Savior, and were baptized in water by immersion. Please give full consideration to this decision. To receive a free recording of this and last week's program, ask for CD 1952. That's 1952. We look forward to hearing from you with your important questions and comments. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.